What is going on, friends? Welcome to the Bitcoin Builders Weekly Breakdown, the first ever of its type. On this weekly breakdown, we are talking about a prominent P2P exchange shutting down, the state-by-state battle for Bitcoin mining in the US, and much, much more. All right, friends, welcome to the very first Bitcoin Builders Weekly Breakdown. It is Tuesday, April 11th, and I am so excited to be here with you. Now, as most of you listening know, I have just announced Bitcoin Builders. It's the first spinoff from the main Breakdown show and the second show then on the new Breakdown Network. Before we dive into today's topics, I want to talk just a little bit about why Bitcoin Builders and what you can expect from the show. Before that, quickly though, a huge thanks and shout out to my launch partners and the exclusive sponsor of Bitcoin Builders, In Wolf's Clothing. For those of you who heard my interview with Kelly Brewster a couple weeks ago will know all about this, but for those who haven't, Wolf is the first startup accelerator dedicated to Lightning. Four times per year, Wolf brings teams from around the world to New York City to work with like-minded entrepreneurs pushing the boundaries of what's possible with Bitcoin and Lightning. The program is designed to help early-stage startups achieve product-market fit, develop their brand, secure early-stage funding, and grow businesses that fuel the global adoption of Bitcoin. You also might notice that it is dead on the trend that made me want to start Bitcoin Builders in the first place, which makes me endlessly excited to support them. You can learn more or apply at wolfnyc.com, wolfnyc.com. All right, so I have always said that the breakdown is about the big picture power shifts remaking our world. That was true of the original show, and that's true now that it's expanded to an entire network of shows. While the breakdown itself has never been exclusively about Bitcoin, I cover the broader crypto industry, plus a whole heck of a lot of macro and even geopolitics, Bitcoin has still always had a special place at the heart of it. I don't think one needs to be a dyed-in-the-wool maximalist to be impressed with the transformative force of Satoshi's invention in the world. For the first time in modern history, Bitcoin gives people who by accident of birth live under repressive monetary regimes a way to opt out. It has, over the last decade and change, had more uptime than the Federal Reserve System. Every time Bitcoin has been counted out as dead or dying, it has surged back anew. In short, even if there is still more to build, Bitcoin has a seat as a force at the big picture power shift table. And it's that idea of building that made me want to start this show right now. There is an undeniable Cambrian explosion of Bitcoin building happening at this moment. Not all Bitcoiners like all versions of it. Indeed, there are some big debates around some of the ways that people are building. But what's undeniable is that it's happening and it's bringing incredible energy to the space by virtue of that. So let's talk about what I'm hoping to do with this show. There will be a few different types of episodes. One format will, of course, be interviews with the builders themselves. I want to use these interviews as a chance not just to tell you guys about cool projects, although that's definitely a part of it, but also as a broader vehicle for understanding how Bitcoin is operating in the real world and how people are coming to it, using it, having their opportunity set changed by it. One of the things I loved about the first interview I did with Gridless's Eric Herzman, which is also out now, is how much Bitcoin just fits as the thing which opens up a solution to a different problem. Gridless isn't a Bitcoin project for the sake of it. It's a Bitcoin project because Bitcoin is the only thing that has a chance of making the economics of these mini-grids and last-mile electricity more generally work. Now, one thing to note is that I'm hoping to have passionate guest hosts on a lot of these interviews, so it's not just my voice and perspective you're hearing all the time. Another format of Bitcoin Builders will be familiar to all of you who listen to the main Breakdown show. Each week, I'll do at least one Bitcoin Builders weekly breakdown, which will specifically cover the most important news and discussions from Bitcoin and the Bitcoin community that week. It's designed to catch news that is highly relevant to Bitcoiners, but might not have made it into the main show, given how much craziness happens every day. Beyond that, there are going to be tons of experiments. I'm thinking about discussion shows and roundtables. I'm looking at some interesting partnerships that might provide a data lens more regularly. And who knows what other ideas will surface as we go along. All in all, I'm super excited to start this journey with you and appreciate you all checking it out. With that though, let's move on to the first ever Bitcoin Builders Weekly Breakdown. There is a lot going on with Bitcoin right now. If you go back to December, numerous analysts were calling for Bitcoin to slump further, to go as low as $10,000 or $12,000 in the wake of the FTX collapse, a bank run on Silvergate, and the general sense of trouble ahead. Instead, Bitcoin went on an absolute heater in Q1. Its price was up almost 70%, making it its best quarter in 2 years. What's more, it did so in the face of a fairly significant banking crisis in the US. Silicon Valley Bank might have been written off by mainstream media as just a bank for tech companies, but when all was said and done, its collapse was the second biggest bank failure in US history. And while many risk assets backed off on fears of contagion, Bitcoin went in the exact opposite direction. And while we can debate the exact catalyst that started that mini bull run going, there is no doubt how the narrative has taken hold of the broader imagination. Dozens of mainstream outlets have run some version of a headline that says, "As banks flounder, Bitcoin soars." In fact, I feel strongly that when the history books are written, the last few months in Bitcoin history won't be about any price moves, but about the searing visual of Bitcoin performing in the exact type of moment it was made for. Alas, that is not to say that Bitcoin is all tailwinds right now. As you'll see from today's news, the battle to make Bitcoin more accessible and secure remains contentious. Now, our first news story is actually kind of a bummer. P2P Bitcoin marketplace Paxful has closed. For those not familiar, Paxful has long been a beacon for peer-to-peer Bitcoin trading. It, along with Local Bitcoins, were two of the most important venues for Bitcoin trading in many parts of the developing world and global south, where access to exchanges and on-ramps and other trading venues just wasn't as easy. Founder Ray Youssef is an extremely mission-driven entrepreneur. His Twitter bio reads, "Mission: unite the global south with Bitcoin." And it's hard to deny that he's done anything but walk that walk. The company has made a number of moves over the past few months to better align around that ideal. Ray made waves when he announced in December that the platform was removing ETH to focus exclusively on BTC. Integrity over revenue, he wrote, and even if one likes ETH, there was no denying the power of the signal. In the announcement, he wrote, "The biggest problem in the world is economic apartheid. It is the root of all of humanity's pain. I want to see a world where Bitcoin frees billions of people held back by this evil system, especially those unnecessarily harmed living in the global south. This is why I built Paxful, to achieve this mission. It is what truly drives me, it's from the heart, and this is personal for me." Now, he went on to say that going into the decision was ETH's transition to proof of stake, questions around centralization, but most of all, the desire to just focus on the thing that he believed had the biggest chance to help people, which was Bitcoin. Another example of the company standing on principle came out just about a week ago, on March 29th, when Youssef announced that Paxful would be making users impacted by the Celsius collapse whole. In the email announcement, Ray wrote, "Last year, Celsius announced they were filing for bankruptcy, and as a result, you were unable to access your funds in Paxful Earn. The collapse hurt countless users and damaged trust in our industry. Paxful, like many others, were paralyzed to act as we could not retrieve funds held by Celsius." Another hit came when the courts ruled that Celsius Earn accounts belonged to Celsius's bankruptcy estate, not to its users. "That didn't sit right with me then, and it still doesn't sit right with me today. Bitcoin is a tool for wealth preservation, and for many, this was money they depended on for their future. Earning your trust is an absolute honor, and it's a responsibility I take very seriously. That's why I'm happy to announce that I've personally taken action and will be refunding all affected Paxful users. Your Celsius funds will be available in your Paxful wallet later this week. I'm truly sorry for what you've gone through. Bitcoin is building a better financial system for the 100%, but in order to rebuild this, we all need to hold ourselves to a higher standard." So this is Ray, this is Paxful. And given all that, it was an absolute shock when Youssef dropped a note on Tuesday saying that Paxful was suspending their marketplace. He writes, "Today, Paxful will be suspending its marketplace. We are not sure if it will come back. This will probably come as a big shock to many. While I cannot share the full story now, I can say that we unfortunately have had some key staff departures. Also, regulatory challenges for the industry continue to grow, especially in the peer-to-peer market and most heavily in the US. While we work through these issues, we have taken the most secure option and ask you to explore self-custody and trade elsewhere." The reaction in the community was immediate. Joel Valenzuela says, "Now that we lost Paxful, it's pretty obvious that on-ramps to crypto are being shut down. You won't be able to just buy Bitcoin and sell it whenever for much longer. Start learning how to live on crypto today." Now, part of why this announcement hit so hard is that it wasn't the only peer-to-peer Bitcoin marketplace to go down this year. In February, Local Bitcoins announced that it would also be shuttering its startup. Their closure note read, "Local Bitcoins was established to bring Bitcoin everywhere and drive global financial inclusion. We have honored that mission for over 10 years, and we are proud of what we achieved together with all of you, our loyal community. We are therefore sad to share that regardless of our efforts to overcome challenges during the ongoing very cold crypto winter, we have regretfully concluded that Local Bitcoins can no longer provide its Bitcoin trading service." Now, this is a company that was founded in 2012 and has made it through everything that's happened since. While its volumes were never anything like the big exchanges, it was a service that in many parts of the world provided a lifeline for the Bitcoin users that needed it most. Now, in a follow-up Twitter Spaces, it seemed like the announcement was not just the issues of regulatory compliance and everything there, but also some really contentious team issues. Still, it's really hard not to be concerned about the declining number of venues for non-custodial Bitcoin trading. As we learn more about the story, I'll definitely do some updates here on this weekly breakdown. But with that, let's turn to our main topic. One of the most important battles right now, quietly happening all around the United States, is the state-by-state battle to preserve, protect, and support Bitcoin mining. One of the fascinating dynamics of 2023 is that even as Bitcoin and crypto have been in the sightlines of overzealous regulators and elected officials in Washington, there has been a quieter but just as important campaign to create space for Bitcoin mining at the state level. One of the key leaders in this has been the Satoshi Action Fund, an advocacy group that helps states study Bitcoin mining and come up with bills that match the needs of each individual state. In less than a year of operations, the organization has seen some fairly significant progress. Their model policy has been used as the basis for five different bills that have been introduced in five different states. In New Hampshire, Governor Chris Sununu commissioned a report on crypto and digital assets and noted the Satoshi Action Fund and its CEO, Dennis Porter, as contributors to their finding. After so many negative reports about Bitcoin mining over the years, it was a breath of fresh air to read that December 2022 report. One of my favorite highlights was this paragraph. The commission recommends that the governor and the legislature direct the New Hampshire Department of Energy to conduct a public review of how Bitcoin mining operations might be integrated into a statewide energy plan with positive impacts for the electricity system, including contributing to more stable electricity grid, more sustainable generation projects, and lower costs for consumers generally. Such a review should include a focus on how New Hampshire law might enable inside-the-fence arrangements that would support the development of renewable energy projects within New Hampshire. The public review should invite local and national experts in Bitcoin mining and their potential costs and benefits for electricity networks. In other words, this was a state that really seemed to get not just that this should be allowed as a legal activity, but as something that they could actively design and reap the benefits from as they thought about the future of their wider system. Another success on the state-by-state fight for Bitcoin mining came about a month ago, at the beginning of March, when a right-to-mine Bitcoin bill passed through Montana committee with both Democrats and Republicans coming together to support the bill unanimously, 12-0. Now, of course, mining isn't universally beloved at a state level either. Perhaps it's not so surprising, but last year, New York State voted for a moratorium on new proof-of-work mining that was signed into law in November. While it's sometimes been reported as a Bitcoin mining ban, that's not technically true. Instead, the moratorium blocks new miners from being approved to operate, and it blocks the expansion or renewal of existing permits unless the companies applying use 100% renewable energy. Again, given New York's longtime antagonism towards the industry, it's not particularly surprising that they passed this bill. But that might make Texas's Senate Bill 1751 all the more surprising. Texas has been a bastion for Bitcoin mining. Numerous firms have set up shop there to take advantage not only of plentiful natural energy resources, but also a number of incentive programs. Senate Bill 1751 would significantly reduce those incentives. One example is a demand response program the state runs. Currently, that program provides miners rewards when they give power back to the grid, when excess energy demands threaten to overwhelm the system and cause outages and other problems. The bill would restrict how Bitcoin mining companies were able to participate and would force that miners using more than 10 megawatts of energy register as flexible load operators with the state grid operator ERCOT. Now, this is a program that miners have taken significant advantage of. Last summer, for example, Riot Blockchain earned $9.5 million in power credits after suspending operations during a devastating heat wave. 1751 would also prohibit there from being tax abatements and tax incentives for mining, with the logic being that mining is already expected to grow significantly in the state. Indeed, the sponsors of the bill, including State Senator Lois Kolkhorst, say this is basically the core idea, that this is not meant to be punitive, but simply to recognize that the Bitcoin mining industry just doesn't need additional assistance from Texas. Now, there's no doubt that the Texas mining industry is big and growing. ERCOT data suggests that the industry's demand will represent about 3.7% of the state's lowest forecast peak load this year. Miners' power consumption is up in general about 75% from last year and 3x the year before that. Still, for opponents of the bill, including Texas Blockchain Council President Lee Bratcher, Riot VP Pierre Rochard, U.S. Blockchain Corp CCO Matt Prusak, and others, this growth is exactly why the state should be allying with and supporting miners. Prusak said that Bitcoin miners in Texas understand that, quote, the goal of SB 1751 is to ensure the responsible growth of the Bitcoin mining industry in Texas. However, he says, While we share this goal, we believe that the current proposal may have unintended consequences that could negatively impact both the mining sector and the broader energy market. Bratcher, meanwhile, points out that the mining industry directly employs 2,000 people in the state, with another 20,000 indirectly affected. Richard said that the tax abatements have created hundreds of rural jobs. Alas, these arguments did not sway the Texas Senate Committee on Business and Commerce, which advanced the legislation last week with a 10-0 vote. The same day, April 4th, Dennis Porter, the CEO of Satoshi Action Fund, tweeted, "Breaking. The anti-Bitcoin mining bill in Texas just passed through Senate committee uncontested, without a single vote in opposition. Unfortunately, members of the committee were swayed by the influence of the powerful bill sponsor. There is also talk it could pass through the Senate. It will be critical to fight back against the bill in the House in order to kill the bill. The bill made it onto the uncontested list, which means it has a 95%+ chance of passing the Senate. We will be directing a large amount of our focus to ensure this bill does not see the light of day. Texas has become a beacon of mining for the world. We must keep it that way." And indeed, it certainly seemed that they were walking the walk, because Porter and many others were down in Texas all week advocating. On Thursday, Dennis tweeted, "Texas update. We are working aggressively to get several senators to vote no on the anti-Bitcoin mining bill to send a signal to the House that this bill has opposition. We've had great conversations with several offices and believe we can flip some from yes to no." On Friday morning, Riot's Richard published a fact sheet arguing that the bill's sole purpose is to be anti-Bitcoin, and that it would in fact increase Texans' electricity bills and reduce grid reliability. Indeed, there has been some scuttlebutt that allies of the beleaguered ERCOT, which has received a lot of flack for how Texas's grid has been managed, is trying to use Bitcoin as a scapegoat to distract from bigger issues. And whether that's true or not, it's clear that this fight is capturing more attention than just in the local Texas community. The nationwide Chamber of Digital Commerce tweeted that they, for example, were joining the fight in opposition to this bill. So that fight continues. Not wanting Texas to have all the fun, however, the end of the week also saw news from two other states as well. On Thursday of last week, Decrypt reported that North Carolina's Buncombe County is considering a one-year moratorium on Bitcoin mining. Local news reports that the idea is to give the Board of Commissioners time to, quote, "develop standards and mitigation methods for intensive land uses that may pose detrimental harm to the natural environment." Now, we don't have a lot of information about this proposal yet, but the board is set to discuss and finalize the issue in a public hearing on May 2nd. But to close the week off right, Friday also had some great news. On Friday afternoon, the state of Arkansas passed their Right to Mine bill in the House and Senate, meaning it's now just awaiting for that state's governor's signature. The bill was technically called the Arkansas Data Centers Act of 2023, and it creates guidelines for Bitcoin miners. Bitcoin miners are allowed to operate in the state if they comply with state laws concerning tax policies, operations and safety ordinances, business guidelines, employment laws, and rules or rates for utility services. Additionally, the bill allows for at-home mining. Basically, the bill says a really common sense thing of, if you follow our laws, you're welcome here. On the one hand, it's crazy that laws have to be passed to allow lawful industries to operate lawfully, but given the general antagonism towards Bitcoin and Bitcoin mining right now, this is where we're at. Samuel Armez of the Florida Blockchain Business Association also made the point that this is significant for more than just Bitcoin. Samuel writes, "Proof that small actions can create large outcomes. The right to mine is the right to choose what you use your electricity for. Banning Bitcoin mining is a backdoor for government to further control anything you plug in. This is not about just Bitcoin. This is about the right to use your property. Congrats to Arkansas for helping lead the way. Other states should take note." It is very easy to get caught up and distracted only in Washington, D.C. politics and nation-level politics, but especially in a country like the United States, there is so much opportunity for grassroots building, grassroots advocacy. I think it's immensely positive to see that type of energy being applied to Bitcoin. And I absolutely consider it in this category of Bitcoin building, even if it's not coding new tools and user experiences for Lightning or anything like that. So friends, with that, we close our first ever Bitcoin Builders Weekly Breakdown. Like I said, I will do these at least once a week covering the most important Bitcoin news. I would imagine that sometimes I'll do an emergency session just because it will make sense. For now, please let me know what you want to hear about on these shows and who you want to hear from on Bitcoin Builders more broadly. I want to say a big thanks again to InWolf's Clothing, wolfnyc.com, for their support of the show. If you are building on Bitcoin, if you are building on Lightning, or even if you are just interested in these things, you owe it to yourself to go check out what Wolf is building. Again, that's wolfnyc.com. Until next time, guys, let's build.